got it.
We're good.
Is that print big enough?
All right, Justin. Well, good evening. If you don't know me, my name's Craig Cheshire. I have the blessing of serving the church as one of your elders. And again, if we don't know each other, feel free to come by after this and say hello, introduce yourself. This is not the place I prefer to be. So I prefer to be in the back handing out, you know, green sauce tonight, or just, you know, chicken legs on any other night, or picking up chairs or taking the stage down, anything but up here speaking. But if you were here 14 months ago, Pastor Dallas asked me to speak, and I said yes very quickly to him, only to realize it's not my cup of tea to be up here. And maybe that wasn't the right thing to do, is to say yes. But we talked about that night how God is interested in our availability more so than our ability. And so, again, he asked. I said yes, a little more hesitant this time, a little older, a little wiser maybe. And so, here I am. I'm up here. I got a little nervous, though, a couple of days after saying yes, and I said to Matt, a couple days later, we were talking about it. I said, Matt, I'm not sure yet. I may renege on that and back down. But through praying and just asking God really just to teach me something over the next few weeks that I had to prepare for this so that I could just share what God has been showing me. And my prayer is that, you know, in that you will be able to leave here with at least one thing that God can show you as well. We're going to continue in our series on Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of our faith. And tonight we're continuing with Abraham. So we'll read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, and then we're going to pray and we'll get started. So verse 9 says, "By faith, he," meaning Abraham, "stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob." Verse 10, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Father. We thank you that, as we find in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is inspired by you and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. And so as we study these two verses tonight, Father, we pray that you would teach us something, something that would help expand your kingdom. And we thank you for that. And Father, I ask that you will just speak through me. If I've studied something and prepared to say something that you'd rather not be said here tonight, I pray you would help me to forget it and just fill my mouth with your words. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's just read that again. Verse 9, "By faith, Abraham stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob." When I first read that, and I'll be just be honest with you, maybe a little too honest, but all the elders just took a deep breath and thought, uh-oh, what is about to happen? But no, honestly, when I first read that, I thought, we're talking about Abraham. From way back in the Bible times, what faith does it take to imagine that he lived in a tent? And then quickly that thought faded, I think probably by the Holy Spirit. But honestly, what faith? He is not that far removed, although it is 2,000 years he's removed from Adam, but we're only in chapter 12 of his story of the Bible. And so we have to go back to Genesis chapter 12 and read the verses that Matt read last week when he spoke. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says that the Lord said to Abram, this was before he became Abraham, "Go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you." And so that takes faith. And so now we kind of begin to see how Abraham stepped out in faith. And Matt talked a lot about that last week. But to leave, I don't think Matt Keene is here tonight. I haven't seen him. But Matt Keene did that. He left his home and went and served God in Africa. And that takes faith to leave the people that provide you comfort behind. And then when you read verse 2 of Genesis chapter 12, it says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And now we begin to see what faith Abraham had and why it was by faith that he was living in the promised land, but he lived there as a foreigner and not a great nation, but he lived in a tent. And not only did he live in a tent, but so did his son and his grandson. So for three generations, they lived in tents, not a great nation. But that's what God had promised, is that he would be a great nation. And so it kind of got me started to thinking about faith and what does that mean. And then a whole bunch of questions kind of came up. And we're going to go through those questions tonight as we go along. But faith, the Bible gives us a good definition of faith. And Dallas has read that during this series a couple of times. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and the Bible says, now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. Okay, so Martin Luther expanded on that just a little bit, and he said, faith is a living, busy, active, mighty thing. Now that brings it more home. Faith has to be active. I remember my dad explaining it a little bit this way. He said, my dad was a boat captain, and so he ran ships from Florida down to Haiti for several years. And we were on the bridge of the ship one time, and these weren't huge ships, but this one was about 150 feet long. And the steering wheel of that in the bridge was about 3 feet in diameter. Big old steering wheel. Didn't need to be that big, but this is many, many years ago, and that's how it was made. And he said, you can turn this steering wheel, and he cranked it. He said, it doesn't move the boat at all. The ship stayed there because we were right at the dock. He said, but if you put the ship in motion and you turn that wheel just a little bit, the ship will begin to move. And that's what Martin Luther is saying. That's what this story is about, is faith takes action. We have to actually step out. You've heard it said probably in church before, you can have faith. Pete had faith that chair there would hold him. But if he never sat in it, nobody would know. You actually have to move. You have to take that action. I trust this stage is going to hold me. Now that panel over there, I don't know. I have to move over there and test it. And then that's when God begins moving. Is when we take action and move out. That puts our faith into practice. Faith is real, but if we aren't exercising it, it will go nowhere. And so it made me also ask the question, you know, has my faith grown static? And I had to really ask myself that because I had never heard those words of Martin Luther talking about faith being active. Yes, my dad had raised me properly, but as an adult, have I really looked at faith in the fact that I have to do something that's difficult for it to work, for it to begin to grow? And I'm so thankful for biblical scholars, because I would never define myself as one, but I am thankful for those that are, because I read this in a commentary about Hebrews chapter 11 and the heroes of our faith that chapter is about. He said their faith was not static. It was active and was reflected in what each of them did. And isn't that something we would want to know? As when we pass away, by faith, Mark did this. Or by faith, Dan. And we want to be known as people of faith. And we want it to be reflected in what we do. I've read this also as well. Faith is not fleeting, but substantial enough to generate confidence. And so we will talk more about that, how faith generates confidence as we go along. But the other question that popped up, hang on, we'll get there. Don't worry about that. It's all good. But we want to live in a way that shows that we believe in God. And how, so that brought this question. This is where we need to go. How do we faithfully serve God during difficult times? Because that's what Abraham did. He lived in a tent, and he lived as a foreigner, having been promised to be a great nation. And so we don't have that in Scripture, that Abraham, sat around and wondered those things. But I know if I was in a tent when God told me I was going to be a great nation, that would be a challenge to get out of bed in the morning, to roll off the ground and stand up and go out and be productive. And but Abraham continued to serve God. In one of the commentaries I read, he said, by setting our hope in the fact that God will act, Abraham was faithful in the present, because of his confidence in what God would do in the future. Because Abraham believed what God would do in the future, he was able to act faithfully in the present. I watched a clip about a week ago from a pastor in Florida, pastoring the church that I used to go to down there. He's came since my time, so I don't know him very well, but he was preaching, and he said, church, we need to plant our life in this word. We have to plant our life in this word, because this word, this book, is from God, and it has the answers to our life. And when I heard that, I began to get a new love and appreciation for God's word. I think too often we carry the Bible around, and it's on our phone. And when I say we do this, let me just say Craig, because I do this. There's too many times I don't go to the Bible for an answer. Too many times I don't look up Scripture, and yet I have it. And we have grown too accustomed to it just being in our pockets. And it has life in it. And that's what Pastor Corey said. He said, start your day in the Word. End your day in the Word. Go to the Word for everything. I Googled something the other day. I said, hey, Google, how do we serve God faithfully when it's difficult? I think I asked her for a scripture. You got to be pretty specific with Google, otherwise you get in this back and forth argument because she says, I don't know how to answer that. So you got to get pretty specific. So I asked her for a scripture. She came back with this scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your path straight. And that's how, during a difficult time, we can be faithful. We sang that song, All My Life, You've Been Faithful. God has been faithful to us. We just have to trust in him. We have to go to him. We have to go to his word. And when we acknowledge him, and we try to fix things a lot of times on our own. And when we do that, we are for sure to fail. We need to trust and rely on God. It also, I got back another verse, said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And that brought back, that reminded me of a story, and I've shared this story before, so if you were here 14 months ago and remember this, well, thank you, one, for remembering, but also I apologize, but it's very applicable to this. Back in the early 90s, I was sailing back to Haiti with my dad. He had been here in the States equipping his boat for ministry, and I was off school for the summer. We headed back to Haiti, and once we got in the Haitian waters, we stopped at a couple of friends' houses along the way as we were headed to my dad's house. We stopped off at a missionary couple's house first, and we just asked them, you know, how have things been in Haiti the last few months? And, you know, they begin to tell us of the struggles that go on. And these were real. I mean, you know, poverty is great. Doing ministry in a third world country is a challenge. And they begin to tell us of these things. And we got back on the boat, and we continued on. Went to a friend's spot that he had. They were owners of this local hotel. And we stopped off there, had lunch with them, and talked to them. Kind of got the same story. The challenges of being business owners in Haiti were great. You know, tourism is down. They're struggling. We heard the same story, you know, the same kind of stuff. We get back on the boat, head on down the coast. We arrive at my dad's dock, and our missionary partner that's there, Pastor Caesar, was at the on the dock, and we asked him, and the first thing out of his mouth, he said, "God is faithful." Now, Caesar, being a Haitian, knew more about the struggles of his people than the missionary couple and the business owner, but he chose to put his eyes on God. He chose to follow Colossians 3:2. He set his mind on things above. He could have looked around and become very sad. He could have become very discouraged and very frustrated with the work because of the conditions in the country, but he chose to set his mind on things above. And that's what we have to do if we are going to serve God faithfully during difficult times. Another question that came up is, how do we wait on God faithfully? Abraham was waiting on God. God had promised him great things. God promised him that he would be a great nation and be a blessing to others. And yet there he was with his son, his grandson, still waiting on that to happen. And so how do we wait on God faithfully? Verse 10 says, for he was looking forward. We have to look forward. We can't look around us. We can't just kind of aim and get discouraged. We have to look forward to what God said that he's going to do. Not only do we look forward, but we also look back. And that's also an important way of living faithfully while we're waiting. And we look back at the miracles that God has done in our lives. And we have to be a people of prayer. There's a couple people in here tonight. I'm trying not to make eye contact with them, but they are people of prayer, and they are known for that. Their children report that. And we have to pray about everything. I remember when my wife and I first got married, I still don't know how to repair a whole lot of stuff, but I knew less back then. And I remember when the microwave went out, I'd pray for God to heal our microwave. And he did sometimes. And, you know, amazingly, you know, I don't know, you unplug it and walk around the house a couple of times praying, and then you come back and plug it in, and it works. And, you know, God can do whatever God wants to do. And if we don't ask, we won't know. And so I look back at those times even now. You know, now I've got something that my wife and I have been praying for over 9 years. And it hasn't, the answer hasn't come yet. And yet we still pray. We have to pray because we know that God is doing something. We may not see it. Sometimes we get some little crumbs along the way. But if you aren't praying, you don't have the opportunity to even to see those little crumbs. And so we have to pray. We have to pray about everything. And then in the most difficult times, you look back in your life, and you see where God has moved. I remember years ago, I was walking home from school, and I was walking by this particular day, my friend that used to walk down the dirt road with me, that we'd lived down this old dirt road, and I'm going to blame him mostly, but he used to taunt these pit bulls that lived at one of our neighbor's house, and they used to try to come out and get us, and they were tied up, and so they'd get snatched back. Well, this particular day, apparently they weren't tied up, and Craig was not taunting them. But as I walked home, I heard something behind me, and I turn around, and here comes one of the pit bulls after me. So instantly, I cried out on the name of Jesus. And I called out, if my memory serves me correctly, I said it two or three times, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And that pit bull was back in its yard. And I was feeling pretty relieved, and he started coming back after me. And so I did it a couple of more times, and then he was all the way back over by his house, and I took off home, unscathed, unbitten. And I remember that all these years later, 40-some years later now, and I remember what Jesus did on that day. And so when I'm in a difficult time, I can go back to that. And he certainly has done amazing things since then. I remember when we first moved up here, and we moved up here from Central Florida. We didn't really know anybody. And our realtor was the main person that we knew. We met, brand new, had talked to her on the phone. Other than that, we were introduced by a mutual friend. Who would have thought, though, that some 15 years later, we would still be good friends? I've been blessed to do ministry with her children. We've gone to Haiti together, her husband and I, her children and I, her daughter-in-law. God put somebody in our life, in a new place, didn't know anybody. And now here we are, we feel at home. And again, could be little things, but man, when you pray about that, because I knew my wife needed to meet people and needed a friend, because I was moving her away from her family up to, you know, Northeast Tennessee, and God had a plan. And so I look back on that sometimes in my life, and I think, wow, God, you can do just anything. We just have to stay faithful to him and stay praying and living out what the scripture asks us to do. Keep our eyes on him. That's how Abraham lived faithfully. That's why he's in the scripture, in the chapter of the heroes of our faith. It's because he kept his eyes on him. You know, if you remember last week from Matt, Abraham wasn't perfect. And that's also something we can walk away with, knowing that we don't have to be perfect to be used by God. We just have to be willing and say yes. And then when things are tough and it's like, man, God, why? Why here? What is happening? We just keep our eyes on him and remember, he's got a plan for us, and we just have to serve him. And I think that's the main thing that want us to walk away tonight with, is just remembering the scripture. Remembering that God, he is the author of this book, and he inspired it, and he did it for us to hold in our hearts, so that when we run into trouble, we can open it up and get answers to our life. And then I encourage you to pray all the time. Pray for those little things. Pray for your flat tire. Pray for, you know, just any little thing. Be praying, because that's going to encourage you when there's something big that happens. Yes, a microwave, that's a small thing. But right now, when I'm in that middle of this 9-year prayer, that's a big thing. But I trust in God because of that little microwave. And then just, you know, again, just stay in prayer and be remembering that we serve a God that has a plan for our lives. We're going to pray. We don't have a closing song, but we're just going to take a moment and pray. I'm going to let it be quiet for a little while. I hope it doesn't get awkward or anything. But we're just going to pray and just pray and you know, thank God for Jesus. He sent his son. He died for us. We don't have to live in sin and bound to sin because of Jesus. Thank God for the scriptures that he sent his word. And then pray that we can see him in difficult times. Thank him for his faithfulness. There's another song that we sing around here, and I wish we had sang that one also tonight, but it says something about what he's done. So let's look back and just thank him for what he's done in our lives. And then when it's been quiet and we've prayed, and I'll come back and pray again. And that'll close our service out tonight. But let's just pray for a moment. Father God, we just come before you and just thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what you have done in our lives. And I thank you, Father, that you have a plan for each of our life. Father, we just as we look at Abraham, and Father, we just ask that you would help us, Father, to be faithful, to serve you faithfully. And no matter what comes our way, help us to keep our eyes on you and just stay faithful to you. Father, we just love you. Thank you that you love us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right. The only thing we need to do tonight is wipe down the tables. There's some wet cloths back there, and then we can put the tables away, fold all the chairs up, and just take them to the wall. They don't need to be racked or anything, and we will see.